Hello, friends. Hello. Welcome back to the Universal Love Movement podcast special series on leading through unconditional love. This is Dr. Carlos Moore here with my most radiant and luminary co-creator of this Leading Through Unconditional Love series and this book project we're working on. Angela, Dr. Angela Campbell, how are you today?
I'm doing amazing. Love this topic.
Angela, you are, is luminant a word? Can I use it like that? Can I say most luminant? Or I would say radiant. Radiant is a real word, but maybe we'll make that a, maybe we'll make luminant a word.
I love it. You make up some words. Yeah. I love
it. Yeah, we have to outside of these boxes. So the Leading Through Unconditional Love series, we've done a number of episodes. We're not sure if you are tracking along or if you clicked out of whatever order, but this might be like, this is, should be number six in the sequencing because we have a book project we're working on and we are today going to dig into really how, and this comes right after the one on case studies and really how does it look. And now we're going into culture. If you're to foster a culture of unconditional love as a leader, whether you're the leader leading from that kind of hierarchical sense or more of a horizontal or just being a part of, what does that look like? We're going to talk about that today. But before we do, we want to make sure that we are setting the intention for you all. And that intention is to really realize yourself in the seat of your soul purpose, whatever that might be, because everyone has a purpose. And we really think that that drives even more so than a career or a job. What is that? And how do you show up in your perspective, whether it's higher education, corporate, whatever area that you are leading in, even at home, and your most humanizing self in the most humanizing sense to yourself and to others. And we want to honor the leaders of that we would say are conscious or and on the cutting edge. We want to honor those folks that amplify love and authentic power in the world. And we want to thank the ancestors that have come before us, those that are around us now, those that walk with us now, and those in the future. And I'll pass it over to you, Dr. Campbell, for you to do an affirmation for us today. I always love these affirmations. I'm so excited about what you're going to say, just so you know.
Okay. So this one is presence power sustains a culture of unconditional love. Heart smart leadership. And outcomes. So presence power sustains a culture.
A culture
of unconditional love and heart smart leadership. We'll just drop it.
Wow. So Angela, I have to ask, because those who have been tracking, they'll know what presence power is, right? If they've listened in once they get the book. But if they've listened in a proper sequence, they know a little bit about this. But talk to us a little bit about what that presence power is so that folks can connect that within this episode as we move into the culture piece.
So I first read the term from Eckhart Tolle, who really has synthesized. I mean, this is a common notion about, you know, be here now, be present. You see right. that throughout the different spiritual and religious traditions. So there's no one group that can lay claim to that. So I just want to say, but bringing presence power as a term together, I just wanted to amplify how important it is to be present in the work that we're doing. Be present in shining your light. That the truth is, we only have now, and now is where life is happening. And so there's power there. And sustaining the model in one's culture organizationally requires presence power. And so that's why our affirmation is to really sit with that, right? To create some space around, what does it mean for me to be present? And how does that fuel my power? How does that empower me to be present? Well, I can tell you, being present is one of the most transformative and powerful things that we could ever do. Why? Because when we're present, We are available to create space for change. We're available to receive the answers from infinite intelligence. We're available to use our minds, our cognition, right? All of our learning and our education and our training in that space of calm presence, it can flow through us and accomplish whatever the goal is. It provides what people need at the time that they need it. So if we're not if we're not actually present to each other, we're not available to be used by life in fostering a culture of love.
I'm so fired up by that. And there's so much to say. I just gonna, you charged me up today. I know we talked about this much, and when it comes to culture, this becomes so real as the, like, the air and the ethos of that we would like to invite leaders to have organizations operate within. So I'm super excited. It is the, I don't know what's more foundational or concrete, it should be at more of the core than what you mentioned. I'm searching for it. Love, and of course through the actions or the hands, as we would say, that presence. I love it. I'm a huge fan. And what I would, as we drill into this culture piece, just to highlight for you all that are working in whatever respective industry or space, we talk about leadership in a general sense of it could be anywhere, but many times on our work, like, you know, jobs outside of the home, there's like strategic planning, and, you know, there are a lot of metrics that organizations have. And with those metrics are usually the hard numbers of how far they want to go and tangible pieces. And what we're saying for the culture piece is that it's the most important. They say culture eats strategy for lunch. There's so many other, there's another quote I'll bring up later. I have to like look for it. Cause I have all this, you know, Angela and I, we go off of our true, we've absorbed and lived a lot of this to provide to you, but there are key elements that we even have in a book. So when it comes to culture, we want to make sure that that becomes something for you that you really pay attention to, whether you're a leader fostering it or you're a person who's, you know, leading from, you know, within organization, because I think everyone's a leader. Culture is huge, and the behaviors, attitudes, and beliefs become the indicators or those things that you want to work towards and or the things you want to make sure to speak to. And this power of presence, or this presence power, is huge. So Angel, I want to start off by saying, when it comes to the unconditional love in a workplace and tying it into this we have this transformational leadership strategy that we are promoting for folks. And you had mentioned the teachings of Eckhart Tolle. I think about when we are at meetings, and these are cultural norms that we want, behaviors and actions that at an organization you want to promote. You can literally put these out on paper and train and promote them and call them out in a loving way and reward them to promote that culture. So that being present, and I'm going to rattle these off to you, Angela, so we can build on these. Being present during discussions. You can tell when somebody's listening to you or not listening to you. You know, and I've had meetings, people encourage being present at meetings, whether it's cameras on or whatever. But, and then those meetings that actually have like space and promoting space to think, and that people are present with each other. And, you know, the ego part is another thing. I'm trying to think of, because I know that Eckhart Tolle talks about ego, but you know, we talk about the culture of like, hey, a culture of mistakes, welcoming mistakes or whatever. I think that kind of ties into that. And I know that there are certain countries where they actually take breaks, you know, certain parts of the globe. And, you know, sometimes people give us a hard time in the U.S. because we work so much without breaks. But that, what that does for your brain, we actually take moments to like There was this book I was reading called Beautiful Practice once, and it talks about silent snacks. Or sensory deprivation, where you like literally what I do, and this was kind of extreme, it was during the pandemic, but we'll go in a room for like 5 or 10 minutes and just literally just be able to like breathe and think. Sometimes I would be trying not to think. So I have all these things that I could list off that I could try to promote, and I'll pass it to you, Angela, because if I'm promoting this, like, sense that people are like connecting to themselves, this is the culture. Now, there's some larger cultural pieces which I'll talk to after you, after Angela, after you speak, but accepting things as they are, you know, like it's all the stuff that I kind of know. I've only, and when you mentioned Eckhart Tolle, you know, read The Power of Now because of you. And just how there are little bits and pieces, like we said in the other episode, that people are doing, but we're bringing it together. And that I have to just pass it to you after this. This whole overdoing it part is huge in terms of culture because of what's happening to the people and how dehumanizing it is to just be so vigilant. And if you're wondering how to grow these things in people or these traits and abilities, there's so much to draw from, like positive psychology. I talk about, we're in the book, we talk about, what is it, PQ, raising your positive intelligence, your emotional intelligence, these things. So I'm just going to pass it over to you, Angela, in terms of like what other features, or I mean anything that comes up for you, but what features are part of a culture that can be very concrete that a leader can just draw from, right? Or not draw from, draw on, or list out and create a strategy around, and then like to make this very accessible for folks.
I love that. I love it. And I think you started talking about that when you talked about, deep listening,
Deep listening.
Or we could even call it generative listening,
Mm.
quality listening, listening to really deeply understand what a person is trying to communicate, and also being available to listen to what's not being said,
Wow. Yeah.
being communicated nonetheless, right? Words aren't the form of communication. We know we have nonverbal communication. So it's listening with our feelings, listening with our heart, listening with our heads, like the actual, mechanism of hearing. But
Right.
listening with heart, then maybe in a generative listening modality could be listening with our hands. Like, what does that look like? So maybe it's also listening, and in the processing of what we're listening to, consider how can I show up
Right.
and contribute to what another person is bringing into this world. That's love also. Love is very generative. It's life sustaining, life generating. And so to sustain a culture of a loving environment and making and concretizing it to like some specific strategies, it's identifying when we are being ego dominant, when our egos are present. And all of us have egos, so that this isn't something that like, only exists for some and not others, right? And so one of the a spiritual practice, or maybe you could say a practice of mindfulness, or maybe mindlessness is what I like to call it more so, is to come out of the habitual, incessant stream of thinking and just observe yourself. Like listen to yourself as you're listening to others, but more so when you're the one interacting with another person, be the watcher, be the listener. In present, when you're in a state of presence and you're not in your ego, you're really just an observer. You're so present that you are not judging what you're hearing. You're not judging what's going on. Your mind programming and conditioning may be judging it all day long because we're socialized. We're conditioned personalities. But if you, if practice being the observer oh, I'm judging this person right now. Oh, I feel a feeling of impatience welling up inside me. Oh, I'm feeling irritated in this moment. I'm feeling it in my chest, or I'm feeling nervous, anxious. I'm feeling scared in this moment. To be the observer first, and that observer is also part of that heart part of the model. So out of the heart, you're not in your mind, you're in your heart, you're an observer, and you could be an observer of your own feelings, right? Feelings, so you're noticing what you're feeling. And when you're in a state of heightened awareness and consciousness, you can choose. You can say, you know what, I'm going to still those voices, and I'm going to be present to this person outside of the judgment. Okay, the other person who's talking is annoyed and irritated, or they're blaming me for not doing something. Okay, let's deal with it. What's needed right now? The other person maybe that person just needs to be heard. So, and I love what you say, Carl, you have this wonderful practice of saying, let me speak back to you what I'm hearing. Let me speak back to you what I'm hearing and feeling. Now we're having a different conversation.
It's a different conversation, yeah.
Than if I were, right? And we're having a totally different conversation. So now we can invite that energy of curiosity. Now we're talking about, this is what I'm hearing. And you invite the other person to say, well, that's not what I intended. This is what, may I have a do-over? Absolutely.
Right.
Let's do this over.
I love that. And you have to be curious enough on all the ends for that to happen. So that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And Angela, when you just spoke, there's so much that was firing off for me, but I think you're committed. I know that you're committed to those things as a person. What would you say became what's your fuel for continuing? Because sometimes that fuel can be expanded outwards to fuel you in such a way.
Well, the fuel.
Maintains that curiosity and connectedness for you that you think other folks could probably benefit from to sustain that, you know?
Hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. The fuel is, for me, the commitment to love. So the commitment to love myself fuels my interactions and my engagement. So if I'm committed to loving myself, that automatically means I have to love you too.
See, and that's Angela, keep going, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Because we're extensions of each other. And so the fuel is, I'm gonna love one more again. I'm gonna love one more time. I'm gonna give this one more chance, one more opportunity to be expressed. And again, you can hold your boundaries and maintain your fuel at the same time.
100%.
Love and maintain those boundaries. And what am I hearing? What am I feeling? Love is the fuel.
Love is the fuel. The
moment. Accepting this moment as it is. This as moment is what it is. It's not something else.
Right.
I can't make it be something else just because I am an optimist.
It has to be grounded in the reality. And what I love about the love as its fuel, as the fuel for you piece that's so huge as we close out here, is that, you know, they say be the change you want to see in the world, right? When we talk about culture, above all else is, what are you doing? You, universal, your own universe. What are you doing to promote the culture? Because it does start at the top, as we all know, but it permeates and sustains from all other spaces in the middle. And that's why we invite you all. And in our book chapter, we'll talk really a lot more deeply about this. I mean, there's the overarching work that David Logan on leadership in terms of the different organizational ethos of optimally just wanting to be where we're like, we're all great doing this together, right? Versus one in which it's individuals just thinking that life is horrible for them or for another or for their little specific piece. So really, really excited about that, Angela. As we, you know, hopefully you all were able to access many pieces you could really put down and say, this is what we're promoting, this is what we're committed to for that.
You absolutely. And I just wanted to jump in real quick when you're talking about doing things together and doing great things together. If we can think about being digits on the same hand, or being different leaves on the same tree, or being different drops in the same river, the same ocean, or rays of the same sun, we're members of the same team. Working together is the only way we're going to achieve our goals. It's the only 100%. Way. That's why love is the answer.
Yeah, it becomes so evident, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You are part of the same body, the same tree, like you said, the same hand. And you're going to, it's the quote, go further. It's actually even deeper than that further together piece. It's like in order to go, period. Oh, goodness. I love it. So any closing thoughts from you, Angela? I do think that that's a good, you know, digital, you have those digital mic drops, those moments in different parts of each show. What would you say to close out for today before I give the final, goodbye to everyone?
Yes, sustaining a culture of unconditional love and leadership requires presence power. We can only do it now. We have to love now to sustain the culture of love. It has to happen right now.
Right now. Thank you so much, Angela. Thank you all for listening. We want you to feel deeply connected, valued, motivated to contribute to a greater cause through how you humanize yourself and humanize others. This has been another, you know, the special series on Leading Through Unconditional Love. I'm your host, Dr. Carlos Moore, along with Dr. Angela Campbell. And this series, and we thank you. We appreciate y'all, and we'll see you next time.
Peace, love you. Love. Light.
Love and light, everybody.